Mitzvah. We're up to Kufayin Gimel Sif Dalit. Basically, this siman is divided into three parts. There's the first three seifim, which is Aleph through Gimel, which talks about Moicha Ba'akofa, where you sell on credit, you're going to have a dual pricing structure. That's one type of ribbis problem. The halacha that we hope to cover tonight, which is Sif Dalit and Hay, which talks about paying back Mechirish Taris Bepachas, that means you have a choiv going out a year and you need to buy back that choiv, or someone, a third party will buy that choiv at a discount. So there would have been perhaps a problem of Hagdamas Mois, I'm paying you less in advance. I don't owe it to you yet. I'm paying less in advance, and by that you're going to let me off of the choiv, so then that might be a problem of Hagdamas Mois. That itself is a ribbis. By me paying you now, it's like I'm lending you the money till you deserve it, till the year's time. And that would be the ribbis by letting me off this greater choiv. I'm giving you 10 to let me off on the $12 choiv. That's number two. And number three, the last part, which is the bulk of the siman, Yetzirah will get in a few weeks, in the coming weeks, is also Hagdamas Mois, but not Hagdamas Mois by a choiv, but Hagdamas Mois by a mecher, where I give you money in advance, which we discussed a number of times. I give you money in advance, and you're going to deliver me the goods at a later date. And you're giving me a better deal because I'm giving you the money in advance. But tonight we hope to cover, which is Sif Dalit and Hay, which is the din of Mechir Shtaris, where you're selling it bepachas. And based on these two halachas, hopefully tonight we're going to discuss numerous cases of numerous variables how you can get around a ribbis issue, how you can faket, you can structure a halva beribbis, but even heter. Someone showed me this week the tzava from Rabbeinu Yaakov Milisa, that's the Nesivis and the Chavis Das. And I would like to share it with the Olam. It's very appropriate. His 20th point, Eischof, in his Tava, says the following. Im tizku v'tiyu, he's talking to his children, Im tizku v'tiyu loimdim koidim she'tatchilu lasek v'meka k'memkar, if you'll be zeicha that you're able to learn before you start going to work, Tumudu Hilchus Ribbis Bein Hetev, you should learn Hilchus Ribbis properly well. Leman Tiyu Bikim B'chol Hilchosev, in order that you should be fluent and knowledgeable in all its halachas. Why? Ki Bikal, why is it so important? It's making it to his Tava. Ki Bikal, it's very easy. Yachal Adam Likosho B'Issa Ribbis. It's very easy. A person Chulila could be Nikshal in an Issa of Ribbis. B'Esik Mekach Memka, while he's dealing in business, means we're not talking, he's not choishish, his kids are going to outright borrow money beribis. He's talking about when you're dealing b'mekah k'memka, it's b'kal that you're going to come to an issa ribis. Because you came basic avos, certainly basic avos, you can have the problem. But I'm talking about just out the mekah k'memka. V'koidim shum asiyas mekah k'memka, before you do any deal, any transaction, yifali tzedava b'mazne ha'seichel, you should weigh the tzadim to think and work it through to see if there's any chshash, any tzad that is going to be ribis. And nagei adava b'isa ribis. Again, ki b'kal yochel adam l'tesvay, because it's very easy for someone to make a mistake. And he gives, for example, what is his example that he's afraid of, that he has to put this in his tzava? K'goin b'mechira b'hakofa b'yeitz mishavya. He's concerned that you're going to sell, go into transactions, you're going to sell something, and you're going to charge a higher amount for a delayed payment. You're going to sell something on credit and therefore charge a higher amount, which we discussed, like a 210 at 30. It was Bakal, Adam Yochalitis, but people think it's mutter, it's prevalent, it's no problem, and he was afraid of such types of situations. I'm not saying he's talking about 210 at 30, but what the halachas we've been discussing the last 2 weeks. And similar halachas to this mecha ba'akofa, it's impossible to be paid every single case. It's a very severe, it's halacha chumur humoid, it's very difficult, very complex, and it's a very harsh halacha. Gemara says it's the chasam mismaititin, you lose parnasa based on it. And therefore, he's mazit to his children in tzava that a person should learn hilchos ribbis if they will be zoicha, if you loim them, if they'll be able to learn hilchos ribbis before they start out in being mekach ha'memkin, engaging in business, because it's very easy kibekal yuchal adam lita yispias ribbis. And that's what we've been discussing, is Mecha Bar Kofa. Tonight, Mi'at Hashem, like I said, we'll be discussing now the halachas of selling shtari chayvis, selling chayvis of achayim at a discount, which might be problematic, which was the havamin, it might be problematic outside Domus Mois. Let's go over, I'm going to start over Sif Dalid. I'm going to, even though we discussed most of it last week, I'm going to just go over the Mechaba a little quicker. There are more we didn't get to last week. I'll be most of a few halakas in the Mechaba, and then I'll do halakha hey. I asked not to take any questions yet. I'll do halakha hey. It's really Ashlama to halakha Dalid. And then we'll start with questions. We'll start with a lot of, like I said, a lot of tsiyurim, oifanim, how you could really be malva beribis, oifan heta, without using a heta iska. Other ways to do it. All right, let's start halakha dalet again. Mi sheyesh lo ishtar choyv, al chaveray. If I have a ishtar choyv on you, I move al peh, or move al peh, muta, it's permissible, l'mochum la'acher bepochas. I'm allowed to sell it to someone else at a discount. V'afilu lo yegi ezman ha'peroin, even though the zman ha'peroin is at a later date, so it's lo yegi ezman ha'peroin, ve'im ba mishum ribis, and there's no problem with ribis. Reuven owes me $100, I'm in turn going to sell this $100 choyv to Shimon for $80. So I'm the middleman. What's going to happen? He paid me $80, and in a year's time, he's going to be collecting $100. You would think that that's a form of ribis. Because he paid me $80, and is willing to be patient for a year, he'll collect $100 machmasi from my loiva in a year's time. That would be a payment of ribis. That should be asa. Kamashmalan, it's muta. And the reason why it's muta is because he's not lending me the money. Faket, I'm selling him the choyv. I have a choyv on Reuven. I'm selling that to Shimon for $80 at a discount. It's an item. If I would have a car, I could sell it to him for $80. Well, I have a choyv that Reuven owes me that's worth money. I'm selling it to Shimon for $80. Now it's a deal between Shimon and Reuven. Shimon has a right to collect $100 choyv from Reuven. That's not a problem. You can buy, very often you have here cases, let's say the government, people are default in tax payments, whatever it is, issues, or banks, they're foreclosing on people, there's a chayv, you could buy that chayv off. There's such a situation where you can buy chayvs off. And now you're buying that chayv off, that's not a problem that you bought it at a discount. There could be other problems if ribis accrues after the purchase of the chayv, but the mere fact that you bought the chayv is not a problem. In the regard, it's a little better than the goy b'emsa, but I'm giving you that just as a typical case, that so you see this form that I can sell a choyv to someone else. Now, provided, Dr. Machaber, this is only permissible provided when the Shimon is buying this choyv, he's taking a chayv that if something goes bad, if for some reason Reuven defaults on the choyv, he's not coming back to me, the middle person. Kegoin, for example, im ye'oni ha'loiva, if the loiva is poor, becomes poor, shalo ye'eloi mi'amal efraya, he won't have the funds to pay up, shalo yangzo la'meicha, Shimon cannot come back to me and say, okay, he can't pay, so now you pay. That I'm now allowed to take. If I take on such a achrayis, Chazal view it as if it's a bittul to the whole mechiris. And we discussed last week to Pshatim, but it's as if either A, it's as if the mechiris achoyv never took place in the first place. I can't sell something and then, you know, with a tenai that if something goes wrong, I take that achoyv back. So it's felt in the mechiris as if I never sold it in the first place. I could sell you something and take on Zaitika Christ, which we're going to see shortly. But if the etzem choyv is to be goyva from Reuven, and I'm selling it to you, but tonight that if you can't be goyva, you're going to come back to me and give me back the shtar. So that's inherent in that deal is that the mechiris shtar really never took place. And if you take it to the extreme, if it's really bit on the mechir, then betzem right away I can go back to him and say, give me back my shtar because this mechir is a joke. But others say, no, Avad and the Mechir went through. Just it's Kinira, it looks like a problem. It looks like there's a ribbis issue here. It looks like a bittul in the Mechira. And therefore, if he would then go ahead and collect $100 from Shimon, if Shimon would collect $100 from Reuven, then there's going to be, it's like a ribbis payment. He paid me $80. The Mechira really didn't take place. What's as if it didn't take place. And by him collecting $100 machmasi through me, it's as if I paid him that extra $20 of ribbis. He's allowed to take the $80 because that's what he paid me. I have to give him back those $80 back. But anything above the $80 that he paid me, that's considered like a ribis payment. If I should take on such achrayis. But if I don't take on such achrayis, it's mota. And not only that, I could take on other achrayis, that is also mutter. As long as I don't take on this main achrayis. This achrayis is that if for some reason the leiva defaults, he's going to come back to me, the moicha. That I can't do. But zaitik achrayis, which comes from the seller, kagoin, shenimtsa perua, if for some reason I'm selling you a fake piece of paper, I'm telling you it's a chayv, but it's bad debt, not because he's an oni, but it's bad debt because it was already paid and I'm duping you, so that's a mekach tzoyis. Avad, I could accept such a chayv, that if for some reason the shtar is a joke, you have a right to come back to me and get back your money. The money that is that you paid me. If you paid me $80, I have to give you back your $80 because it's a mekach tzoyis. I don't have to pay you the $100 that was on the denomination of the chayv. Oy shetarfu b'chayv muktim. Another achrayis I could accept is shetarfu b'chayv muktim. If let's say I was meshabed to a b'chayv, I had a personal b'chayv that I owed money to, and I was meshabed karka, and I gave that karka as meshabed this chayv, that in the event I default to my Malva, he has the right to collect from this loiva, to take this shtar chayv away from me, and I defaulted. So now he went ahead, and I don't have, I already sold it to Shimon, so good, so it's a shibud, it's meshubud to the chayv. So who go ahead to Shimon and take back the shtar chayv away from Shimon? So then I'm going to be responsible to rectify this problem, because I'm going to be responsible. I sold the shtar to Shimon, and now Shimon's shtar was taken away. It was given to my Baal Chayv. So I owe Shimon, I'm allowed to be Makabal Chayv. In that event, I will give back to Shimon the money that he paid for me. It's as if it's a Mekach Tzoyis. And so that, those two Achrayis, Ein Tzorech She'yah L'Lokeach, that I could accept. And we discussed last week, the Shach says, I'm even allowed to accept a third achrayis, which is somewhere in the middle. Mechaber goes to two extremes. An achrayis from the buyer, that means the loiva defaults, I can't accept. The achrayis from things that are my fault, from the moicha, I could accept. And the Shach says, I'm even allowed to accept a third party's achrayis. I could accept achrayis that in the event the Melach declares amnesty to all chayvis owed to Yidin, and therefore you're never going to be able to collect this chayv that I sold to you, even though it's not my fault, it's the Melech's fault, I'm still allowed to accept that achrayis. Because that achrayis is not part and parcel of the shtar chayv itself. That's also considered zaitik to the chayv which I'm allowed to accept, even though it's not machmasi. But something which is inherent to the chayv, that for some reason you can't collect the chayv, you're going to come back to me, that I can't accept, because that is as if the mechir never took place. Now, the Mechaber goes on, even weiter, that it's motive. Im yesh biyad ha-moicha mashkin shal loiva, if the moicha has a mashkin of the loiva, which now it's a secure debt, the chances are something going wrong is nil, because big deal, if he defaults, you're just going to collect, you're going to be tefis, it's mashkin. Still motel l'machar l'lokeach. It's still permissible for me to sell it to the l'lokeach. The reason why it's motel is not because there's an achrayis and he might lose, there's an odds, there's a risk factor that he might lose his principal. No, the reason why it's mut is because it's a regular mechira. I'm allowed to sell a chayv. Because it's a mechira, we discussed last week, you have to have the proper kinyonim. You would have to do either maimit shloshtim, if it's a muv al peh, or if it's a muv al bishtar, you could do ksiva mechira. But it's a regular mechira. I could sell anything. I could sell a chayv as well. A different way to secure the debt, where the loiva will go directly to the buyer and tell the buyer, I'll give you an orev, I'll give you a mashkin direct. That's also permissible. The idea is it's not because of the risk factor. The reason is because I did a regular mechira. Now, v'im ove v'kibol olav ha-moicha achrayis, and if the moicha went ahead and was mekabel achrayis, tnoi kayim, the tnai is kayim, and the achrayis which we're referring to is the bad achrayis. He went ahead and was mekabel, even the full achrayis, that should the loiva default, you're going to come back to me, which he wasn't supposed to be mekabel. If you were mekabel, it tnoi is kayim. Just, in that case, in many yokel akabel choyva, maksala moisef. I'll taka have to, because of the achrayis taka, I'll have to give you back the money. Since there's an isaribis, from yesh bayu revach, yil moicha, the revach will belong to the moich. I mean, if I was makabel such a chayis, it's awesome, I shouldn't have done it. But the chayis is a kolafi, tonight works. So if the guy defaults, you're going to come back to me. But should the guy not default and everything's fine, you will not be able to collect $100 because that is ribbis. You could collect the 80 from me because of a bad mechira, because we weren't allowed to go through with that mechira, but you're not allowed to collect anything more than $80, because any dollar more than the 80 is as if it came from me, because the mechira was a bad mechira. It's as if I took the $100 from my loiva and gave it to the lokeach. So that extra $20 above the 80 that you gave me would be a form of ribbis. Okushem, Dr. Mechaber, another halacha, even bigger chiddush, apparently, even though Lukai the price won't know why it's bigger, but Ukashem Shiakalamakalachebakas, just like you're allowed to sell to other people at a discount, Kakyakalamakalabatsai, so too you let us sell to the live himself at a discount. I lent you money $100 payable in a year, you have a right to buy this chayv back for $80. You mean to pay down the debt earlier. And that's also fine. You're buying this chayv, it's not a problem. I'm selling you a chayv, it's called a chayv. Happens to be your chayv, good. That's fine. It's not a problem. And we don't view it as a kamis mais, like I discussed. We don't view it as if you're paying me $80 in advance to be able to benefit the $100 payout later on. So that's the mechaba. Basically, you're allowed to sell a chayv at a discount. Now, let's take it to the next step. The Paiskim discuss, and it's important next step, because we're going to need it later on in the shir. The Paiskim discuss, not only am I allowed to sell the chayv at a discount, but I'm allowed to buy back that chayv. Let's take the case. I have someone, Reuven owes me money, $100. I'll sell it to Shimon for $80 and let him sit with the chayv, let's say, for 6 months, 8 months' time. The chayv is first payable in a year. I'll let him sit for a while. And then after 6 months, I would like to buy back the chayv. Now I'll buy back from him for $90 because now there's only 6 months till it's going to be mature. That's also going to be mutter. Not only could I sell it at a discount, but I could buy it back at a higher price. And we're not going to view it now between me and the buyer as a hava beribis. Don't view it as if he gave me $80, was patient for 6 months, and then 6 months later I bought it back for $90. You see $80 going one way, $90 going the other way. It looks and smells like hava beribis, but it's not, and it's perfectly fine. Because he bought something worth $80, and I bought it back. At that time, it went up, appreciated in price because the maturity date got closer. It was only 6 months till it matures or 3 months till it matures. So it cost more. So I'm allowed to buy it back at 90. I'm allowed to buy it back even at 99. The vod is, I sold him something, a chayfet, and he's selling me back. That's perfectly all right. You can sell and buy back. That's fine. I'm not saying you could stipulate in advance, I'm selling at 80 and buying it back at 90, that's a different schmooze. But at least I could sell it at 80, 6 months later, I could decide to buy it back at 90, and it's not a problem. It's not even haram, it's ribis, it's mutal lechatchila. Now, basically, with this lumnus of the mechab, if you'd like to apply it to checks, bizmaneno, and checks is very difficult, because checks, people think are ishtar chayv, they're really not ishtar chayv. What a check really is a directive. And in fact, I think the lashon of the check is to the direction of or direct something, to the order of or something like that. Means you're giving your mitzava that really you have a deal with the bank. You're loiva, you lend the bank money, you deposit it. It's a nice way, convinces you that it's secure. It's secure, but it's not a mashkin. You're not giving them a pekodin. You're giving them money, and they spent that money. You're lending them money. And when you have a deal with your loiver called the bank, then instead of paying me, he could pay anyone who I direct them to pay, to my order. If I order them to pay you, it's also going to be fine. If I give you a check from my account, and I say, okay, pay Yankel Shmerel $100, Yankel Shmerel shows up to the bank and says, look, this is the order. I gave him the right. I ordered the bank to pay Yankel Shmerel $100, and that's fine. In fact, in Eretz Yisrael, not that you can bring a raya from Hebrew, but in Ivrit it's called a hamcha. The lashon comes from a mishnah, hamcheo etzul shulchani, etzul chenvani, whatever it is. It's the same thing. I direct you where you could collect payment from. So it's really not a shtar chayv. I'm directing where you can collect funds. That's fine. Now, if it's not a shtar chayv, it runs its problems of how you could really sell it. It's not ksiva mesirable. It's not a regular shtar chayv that works like that. So it's going to have its problems. You're not going to do maimed shloshen with the bank and your third party, or when I give you the check, you're not going to do maimed shloshen between me and the next guy. It's not even a chayv to begin with. You're going to have a problem. It's just not transferable. So you're going to have to come on to Subtumta that we deal with checks and we transfer checks, and it sort of became the minig that of a Subtumta on this chayfetz, whatever this is called. So if we could deem it like that, then we could start working with this if. Some place can want to say that if I actually owe you the money regardless of the check, I purchased something from you, instead of paying in cash, I paid you with a check. So the check is where you're going to cover the chayv that I owe you. But I owe you because I purchased an item from you. I bought a tape recorder for you for $100. I owe you the $100. I paid by check. The check is a directive where you're going to collect the funds from. You go ahead and transfer that check to somebody else at a discount. You're going to sell that check to someone else for $90. Now, if you should do that, then they want to say it has the same dynamics of this halacha, of this mechaber. Because what's going on? I owe you $100. You're taking this choiv, and let's say al satumta, you could transfer this choiv by handing over the check, endorsing it in the back. That's how al satumta you could transfer this choiv. So you are going ahead and transferring this choiv that I owe you, the seller, to a buyer, to somebody else for $90. So if you say it has the same halacha, this mechaber, it should be permissible, even though you're giving that guy a great discount. Now we're talking about, you're 100% right, I'm sorry. We're talking about a post-dated check, but post-dated, let's make it reasonable, even though it's maybe not practical and it's not nug like that, but I post-dated for 3 months' time. I give you a 3 months post-dated check, but you need money right now, so you're going to go ahead and sell this 3 months post-dated $100 check for $90 to somebody else. No, it's not post-dated check, then why would you give the guy a great discount? You're going to probably just sell it to maybe for a dollar less, like in a check, you know, cashing place, which the place would want to say that dollar off is just for the tircha, and that's a whole different shmooze. That's just, they deserve to get a dollar off for the tircha, not because they're extending funds. It's a tumult in the place. But I want a steep discount. So I want something post-dated for 3 months, and you're giving a steep discount. Instead of being $100, you're selling it for $90. It's not just for the tircha of collection, because there's $10 there to profit. Obviously, it's because of Amtonis Mois. You gave this seller $90 right now, and you're patient. You're waiting 3 months' time till it accumulates. It's going to accrue to $100. So such a thing, it would be the same exact thing as this set. Now that's fine. But Tanai, one major Tanai. And the Tanai is after Mechabu Vavachi Achai Sashtar Vamilva Ala Lokeach. And this means if you would try to do such a thing, if we have the same dynamics as this Mechabu, you could pass along a post-dated check and sell it for cheaper. But you cannot take on the Achai that in the event I default on this check, I don't have funds to cover, it comes back. And all of a sudden, the buyer is going to go back to the seller and say, look, there's a bounced check, give me back my money. If you mekabel such a chayis, then it will be yasa. You could sell him that check, but then he has total achayis, you know, good luck. If I have funds to cover, gewaldig, you'll make your money. If not, tough luck. But you can't be mekabel achayis in the event that I default, that there's no funds to cover. So that's a major thing, because we generally, when we do pass on checks, it's sort of the understanding that, yes, should you default, you will come back to me, the seller of the check. If you have that understanding, which is not nog, then you would not have this heter to give a steep discount. It would not have the heter of mechir ishtaris. There are some who want to play with this, viewing checks differently. It could be they only said in Eretz Yisrael, when Eretz Yisrael checks taka work slightly differently than in America. I'd rather not get into it. It's something difficult to discuss. We have a lot more to discuss tonight, but I just wanted to throw it out from a practical application. In checks, if you're going to do such a thing, you might not be able to be mekabel achrayis, that should the check writer, should the account holder not have funds to cover, you will not be able to come back to the seller. Okay, let's move on.
The check is not a star. Can the
star
is called a promissory note? A
star
is called a
promissory note. Right,
this
is not a
promissory note. A star is a promissory
note. Correct, but this is not. This is just a directive.
Could the writer of the check tell the third party,
the buyer,
person who bought the check, that I have mechiv to you, I don't owe you anything.
No, if you tell me, if it's the tumta, which it is, it's noig shabayilam, is that we do pass on checks, as long as they're endorsed, then you would owe that person money too. You would not be able to get around it. Checks itself is a whole sugi. You know, we can give shiurim and shiurim checks, how to tie up a check, all the different stardom, and then, you know, all the different nafkaminis, what happens if you have a check and you're ready to close the account 3 years later and you see there's an outstanding check, payable, you wrote it to Reuven. By that time, Reuven already transferred it to Shimon, and Shimon to Levi. Who do you owe the money to? Shuvah's Munu. Because there's a lot there. I'd rather try to, you know, move on. But that's a practical application of this halakha.
Even if it's a directive, you're saying it's a problem?
If it's a directive, but it came from a real choiv, that means, because I purchased something, and we can transfer that choiv out satumta, because that's the minig, then we're going to have the same halakha. Yes, some people want to say, if I'll give you a check, b'matana, I give you a chasana gift, I give you matana, and it's a check, and vivat you view the check as not a shtar choiv, and it can't even create a choiv, it's because it wasn't a proper shtar choiv, if that's the case, then yes, it might not be transferred, you know, depending on how it's structured, let's say satumta would be, but there they want to say maybe it's permissible for a different reason, is because All right. They might want to say that, you know, it's beneficial if there's really no chayv, because the only issue of ribbis could be is if I really owe you the money and it's accumulating over time, and therefore when you sell it to someone else at a discount, 80, and it's going to be worth 100 the next day, so sort of he's collecting 100 from my 80. But if really I don't owe it to you because it's a shtar matana, which really I could renege on, so the fact that I give the guy 100 later on wasn't a real ribbis payment because the whole chayv didn't exist. It's all a facade. It might have a maila by being fake, but I'd rather take a normal case where I purchase something and now you're going to give it off, and that's what I'm saying, it might be limited to this halakha that you're not allowed to be a mekabel such a tonight. Again, only if you sell it at a discount. If you want to take the check and pass it along and endorse it for the price without a discount, that's fine. We're not talking about that. We're talking about only if you try to sell it at a discount or post-date a check, that's where you're going to have a problem. All right, let's try to move on. The truth of the matter is I should really... You know what, I'm going to skip the Ramah now. Let's move on to Sif Hei. The Ramah is really a Zaytika issue. We'll hopefully have time to get back to it. But there's a lot here on Dalit and Hei together. Let's do Hei. Sif Hei. Ima kahal tzrichim mois. You know, the kupas here were desperate. Taxes, malamdim have to be paid. Streetlights have to be changed. We need to raise money. What's the etza for a kahal to raise money? So one way is to raise taxes, that's very nice. They're looking for different ways. In Makal Tzrichim Mois, well, they need Mois right now, what do they do? So they have a patent as the following. Yinkru Ezer Hayayin, Oy Habasa. They should sell the Ezer, which is a Lashon of the Paiskim, is called a Randa. In our Lashon, it's called a license. In certain industries, you need a license. I say a medallion, a taxi license, a liquor license. Because Manehem, they had license also on liquor, on yayin, or even basa. There's a license to meat. Only certain people have the right to be a butcher in this town. It was a created takana that they created. They created something to sell. This whole thing that you create a license itself. Why can't I open up another? Why can't I be a second butcher in town? Because the cow doesn't let. Who's the cow not to let? But yes, if the cow got together and created such a mitzvah called a medallion, a license to something, they created that mitzvah. Now they have a right, once they created that mitzvah, to sell that. So what they'll typically do is sell it to a butcher or to Meicha Yain, whatever it is, Lishnaim Meishloishim Yechidi Kaal, to two or three individuals of the Kaal, Lefraya Hatzach, they'll sell it at a, you know, every year, by the way. It's not like a medallion, a taxi, or a liquor license, that's a one time payout. It's every single year, you want to have the right to sell Yain in this city. This year it's going to cost you $10,000. Now the guy doesn't have the $10,000 right now, he has to make it up over the year, no problem. So pay me every single month, $1,000 or whatever it is, or pay me the $10,000 at the end of the year. So what they'll do is they'll sell it to individuals in the town, Lefraya Asach, Lizmanim Yudum, payable over the year. Now, at this point in time, okay, and what's the next? This butcher will actually be mischayv themselves to the kahal with a proper shtar choy, bishtar, this $10,000. Now, that's still, the kahal needs money. They only have a piece of paper. How are they going to get money? So now they'll translate this piece of paper into money. What will they do? Anyone interested in buying this $10,000 choy on the butcher, I'll sell it to you at a discount for $9,000. Pay it to me right now. So what happens? The kahal raises $9,000 right now. They have the cash for what they need. A buyer now has a choiv that he can collect $10,000 with, and he only paid $9,000, so it's profitable business for him, and it's permissible, because we said you're allowed to sell a shtar choiv at a discount. And the butcher could do, to be his butcher, and he need not pay the $10,000 miyad, he can pay it over time. So it's a win-win situation. Everyone works out, everyone gains from this deal. And that's mutter. So basically the mechaber right now is planting a seed, an idea. Hey, we have a great way how to be malvin mois beribis. The kahal is desperate for mois, so instead, the Machabes case was a simple case. They created something to sell, and they sold it. They now have a shtar chayv. They have a real shtar chayv. They sold it at a discount. They got their funds that they needed, and someone else profited by paying $90 for a chayv collectible $100. Or boif and heta, ala yidin, everything's fine. So let's take it to the next step. Based on these halakas, Dalet and Hey, that you could be Merkesh Tarchay Vipachas, comes along the Sma, the Kunches Sma, and says they have a great way how to borrow money by ribbis, even if you're not a kahal, even if you don't have licenses to sell. Simple. Go over to a friend, I'm going to go over to Chesky. Chesky, do me a favor. I need to borrow money. No one's going to lend me money without ribbis. Give me a shtar chayiv on your name for $100. Now you owe me the $100. Now I'll go over, I have this $100 chayiv, and I'll go over to Yitzchak. Yitzchak, would you like to buy this shtar chayiv that I have on Chesky for $90? Chesky is reliable, he's good. He'll pay you $100 in a year's time. Give me $90. I sell you this shtar chayiv that I have on Chesky. I do a ksiva mitzvah, I do a profit kinyan. And now you have this shtar chayiv on Chesky of $100. You gave me $90. So now I have $90 funds right now available to me. In a year's time, Yitzchak is going to collect from Chesky $100. So he's happy. He made money. I'm happy I got $90. Chesky's upset. He just lost $100 for no reason. So he's going to come back to me. He trusts me. We have a mutual trust. He's going to come to me and say, you know, I just got burnt $100 because of you. I said, sure, no problem, Chesky. I understand. Here's the $100. So now, Chesky was just he facilitated this whole thing. He was a nice guy. He was my friend. He gave out $100 in a year's time, and the next morning he got it back from me, $100. That's fine.
So he didn't lose anything. I got $90 a year earlier. I paid $100 later to Chesky, who then gave it, sort of, or actually gave it
first to Yitzchak, but that's how the paper trail went. And Yitzchak got it, no problem. He made $10. It means he lent, don't call it lending, but he sort of lent me $90 by buying a shtar chayiv. He got $100 payable to him in a year's time. He's happy. That was halvah b'ribbis. I got my halvah that I needed $90. I paid up $100 later on. And it's not ribbis. This is all done with mechira shtaris and everyone's happy.
All right. Well, he gave you something worth $90 and you gave him back $100.
He gave me something worth $90. He gave me something worth $90. He gave me a shtar chayiv.
At the end of the day,
Chesky paid out $100 on my behalf, right?
But he gave you
because of that shtar chayiv.
Yeah, but not that. When did he give you $100? He gave $100 a year from now.
Nice guy, he would have given him $100.
What?
Why did that? If he was a nice guy, he would have given him $400.
No.
That's crazy.
Because he has a year's time to collect.
It's $100
item. It's for sure. That's why he's getting a discount. And I never made up. And it's my. I never made up with Chesky that I'm going to pay him back the $100. I did not make up. It wasn't a Tanai. I never made up with him. I will do this deal with him. It was just an understood mutual trust. We know how we do this. I need not pay him back the $100.
In a regular case, so I borrow money from someone and he pays me back. He says, okay, here's $10 extra. They didn't make up anything.
That's ma'ahava. So you pay something extra, even though it's not ribbis ktuta, it will be avak ribbis or ribbis mocheres. You know ahava. Chesky, he was out of the goodness of his heart, was mischayev himself to me $100. I took that and I sold it to Yitzchak. He knew I was desperate, I need to raise cash. He was doing me a toive. He swore I was in a pickle and he did that. Later on, I decided to do him a toive back and I gave him $100. It was not contractual. If I would like to stick him, I could later on and say, go jump. But I didn't. I was a nice guy. There was a mutual trust. If it was contractual, I hear you might have a problem with him, but it wasn't contractual. That was the case of the Sma. So this is a simple eitzah to get around the Havah
B'Rivis.
Is
he not charging you?
What is he charging me?
You know what you're saying. After you pay back $100, he said, listen, I did you a title, now pay me for it.
So what is he going to ask me? For $110, $120? You know, he's not doing me a service, so he really has no... I don't even have to pay him the $100 altogether. It's not contractual.
Why is it worse if it was contractual?
No, because then maybe I hear you might have this problem with this $90 for $100. I would have to think about it, but the case that it was not contractual. Okay, that's one case, and that is a takeoff of this machab. Let's try to move on. One more question, I really want to move on. There's like four more cases, better cases after this.
Just remember, we learned last year in Hilton Salvador, that if it's a third party and has no shaka to you, it's mutter stumble, even I'll vote. If I vote for somebody else and say, please lend Yerim money and I'll give you a ribbon.
As long as that's good, but as long as the circuit is not closed. I could give you money for you to lend Yenna, but not if Yenna is going to give me back the money. Here, and I'm not allowed to do that over there. That's what it says over there in Sifshid Gimel, but over here, what's going on is that Chesky is coming back to me, and later on, I'm giving Chesky the money. So I see a closed circuit. I see exactly what happened here. There was a paper trail. 90, 100. So it means the person who gave me 90 ended up 100 from me. That would be awesome. But since it's Mechir Ishtaris, everything's fine. That's the Kunshas Asma. That's the first step. Okay, let's go on to the second step. And the second step is a little bit more complicated. Tonight we're going to go like, you know, Yevamis. This is like the Yevamis of Hilchus Rebbe.
It happens, it's not Mechir Shtaris yet. Man, it's got it, the only way you can do it. That isn't because it was...
I sold him your Choyv at a discount, and that's permissible. You owe me 100, and I gave it to him for 90. Okay, let's go to the next step. The next step is like this. Maybe Chesky and I don't get along 100%. He doesn't really have that built-in trust, implicit trust. So he's going to come over. I say, Chesky, I need $100. He said, look, you know, I have an eitzah for you. He came to a shiur. He heard I have an eitzah. This is the eitzah. You ready? Chesky is going to write a shtar chayv, just like we did, this $100 shtar chayv to me. But he's not going to give me $100 shtar chayv for nothing. So I'm in return going to write to him $100 shtar chayv. So we change pieces of paper. I owe him $100, and he owes me $100. And we pass in, like the Ramban, that that works. There is such a mitzvah that we can both owe each other the exact same amount. We don't say it's a, you know, we wipe it off, it's a wash. We don't do that. I owe you $100, and you owe me $100. Okay? So you got that. Now, I have a shtar chayv that Chesky owes me $100. I go over to Yitzchak, and I say, Yitzchak, would you like a shtar chayv? I'll sell it to you for 90. Very good. So I sell it to Yitzchak for $90. The exact same thing like we had before. Everything's fine. I get my $90 what I need right now. In a year's time, Yitzchak's going to collect $100 from Chesky, because I just sold him that shtar chayv on Chesky. And Chesky is no problem. He's secured. I can't run away from him because he has a shtar chayv on me for $100. So it's also fine. He's now in turn going to collect from me $100. That's also permissible. It's one step past the sma. And here's the shtickle of a bigger chiddush, because A, right away, there was a chayv going back and forth. It smells of drop. And B, in the event, chulila, the Chesky should not be able to pay Yitzchak, al shabudu derav nosen, Yitzchak's going to knock on my door. He's going to say, you know, by the way, Chesky owes me $100, and you owe Chesky $100, why should we go around? He can't pay anyway. He'll come directly to me, and that's also permissible. Al shabudu derav nosen. It's only if he doesn't have money. What?
He knows that he has a
strap on you. Correct, 100%. Yeah, we're talking about that. Chesky says, look, tells you, I have no money, but I owe him the money, so go collect the money from me, and fine, and that's what Yitzchak comes to my house.
Give him the
stuff.
Right.
Oh, I have to go gava, otherwise he's going to get confused. Yeah, give me patience. You're coming to the next one. 1 second. Okay, so now, what happens here is that the same thing, he ended up getting... I got $90. He ended up getting $100 for the $90 that he advanced to me. So he made money. So to speak, quote unquote, avah beriz. It's not. It's a mechir shtar is going on here. And Chesky is secure because he has a chayv on me. And everyone is fine. That is the chavis das. Now let's take the next step.
Chavis das would be okay. Even if originally you were talking to Yitzchak and he said, I'll lend you money beriz, so you can't make
the deal. Yes. Yes. Yes, in fact, some people say this should be the eitzer for banks, which is really gebot on the next step. Shlomo Miller, it's actually paiskim tshuvas on it. The next step, based on this, I'm going to go to the next step, and this is the eitzer how a bank can lend beribis. Ready? The next step, the third step. Okay, so I'll cop the same thing, just one more step item. You ready? I gave a shtar chayv to Chesky 100, he gave me the shtar chayv 100, exactly like before. I sold his shtar to Yitzchak for 90, exactly like before. This is all happening in Matzah Yishavis, out in a year's time. Instead of waiting the year's time and then going the loop, Skeski says, why do I need to be involved here? I owe you $100, he owes me $100. Why do you have to be involved here? So Chesky right away, right after the Shia, goes over to Yitzchak and says, you know what? Says, okay, let's just change shtaris. You have a shtar on, Yitzchak has a shtar on Chesky for $100, and Chesky has a shtar on me for $100. I have pretty good credit also, just like Chesky. So let's make a swap. Yitzchak returns the shtar that he has on Chesky for the $100 back to Chesky. He makes a swap that Chesky will now give him the shtar that he has on me for $100. So now, a minute later, Chesky is out of the equation. What ends up is, Yitzchak has a shtar on me for $100. And he gave me only $90 2 minutes ago. Again, that's motto, because this is mechirish shtar. Again, when I say it's motto, I mean, according to many poskim, not muskim, but let's say like Rish Lama Zalman and others, this is motto based on the chavis das. I'm just taking it to the next step, it's motto. Even though, in 2 minutes, I just got a deal of a havo beribis. I mean, what, don't call it havo beribis, chulila. It was a mechirish shtar, a few shtars going around, there was no havo, but it had the same objective is Ahava Beribis. It works and it smells and tastes just like Ahava Beribis. I just need Chesky around to do this deal. No problem. In fact, we can have him, and this is what the Eitz, what they want to say. Let's hire a bank to hire a Chesky to always be there whenever there's a loan needed, that he'll do this swapping and then going back and forth, and in 2 minutes he'll just sign two shtaris and back and forth, and 2 minutes we have Ahava Beribis between me and the bank, between me and Yitzchak. And that should be permissible based on the Eschavazaz. That's what Shlomo Zalman says, and others as well. This, and Shlomo Miller told me that we had a problem with a bank here in town. He told me, why don't you try this Eitzah for the bank, to have this Chalipe Shtoris going on here. Now, A, this is not Muskim Bakol. It is a Chavazaz, and Shlomo Zalman likes it, and others do as well. It's not Muskim Bakol. There's Erech Shai who says this is Ribis Ktsuta D'Araisa. Based on the Birka Yosef, and they say no, the Birka Yosef never said this case, they're talking about a different case, and therefore they come out that this is Mutter. There's one chesaron about this case. This word, on a regular chayv, maybe, you know, Reuven Shimon individuals, it's not going to work for a bank. Because a bank needs a chayv, it's not a one-time payout. They need a chayv that if you pay me 1 day, it's $1, pay me 2 days, it's $2. You know, every day it's accruing over time. This could work on a one-time payout. It means I was mechayev $100 and I need 90. So I took 90 and paid 100. But let's say I'll end up paying late to Yitzchak, I'll pay him 3 years late, he still can only collect from me $100. He's not going to collect from me then $130. So it's not going to be an eitzah for the bank. It'll be an eitzah if you need a one-time ribbis payment, a balloon payment, or ribbis. You can have this eitzah, you swap shtarif, make sure when you do it you get a rub and valve to make sure you don't blow it, but you swap shtarif, and then I take this and I sell it to a third party, Yitzchak. Then Yitzchak goes to Chesky and swaps shtaris again. And then Chesky is out of the equation, which is just now between me and Yitzchak. That will be permissible according to the Chavis Das. Comes along the Chavis Das and says, what din? Another case. Step number four. Another case. Again, Halkop, it's the same similar case before, just at the end of the day, instead of Yitzchak being the bank, Chesky is going to be the bank. Chesky, I want to borrow money. Chesky doesn't lend money without ribbis. It's not going to work. So I say, I have an eighth of you, Chesky. We'll swap shtaris, 100 for 100. So far, so good. I go over to Yitzchak and I sell it to him for 90. So now Yitzchak has a choyv on Chesky for $100. He only paid 90 for it. But Chesky wants a profit. So Chesky will go over to Yitzchak and say, Yitzchak says, okay, get out of here. I'll give you the $90 that you just paid me. I'll give you the $90. That's what Chesky tells Yitzchak. He'll give Yitzchak the $90 to take back the shtar choyv, to buy back the shtar choyv that Yitzchak has on Chesky. So in 2 minutes flat, Yitzchak's out of the equation, and Chesky bought for $90 his shtar choyv. But at the end of the day, Chesky laid out $90, and he has a shtar choyv on me for $100. So it's very similar to the one before, but instead of changing stories and getting Chesky out of the equation, and Yitzchak being the bank and making the money, it's farket. Chesky buys Yitzchak out, gets Yitzchak out of here, and Chesky the bank and making the ribbis thing. And Dr. Shlomo Zalman, this is the data based on God. This is also permissible. It's not a problem. This is also fine. Everything with Mechir Shtaris in 2 minutes flat, I already have of all the ribbis.
Could you buy it for 95 and both
of them? Why not? It's in time. Yeah, Yitzchak needs to get paid too. He has to put bread and butter.
You know, all this is stipulated in one document. You're going to do this, but I'm going to do this.
I know, contractually, you have to wonder how it's contractual. But definitely, it's even if I go over to you and I say, I need a halvah, and you say you need it only to be ba'if and ribbis, you have to profit. You don't give out stam gemachim, even though you might be, even though there is a claim kait tzedak here, but you don't give out stam gemachim, you don't give out stam tzedak. You want profit. So then, that's fine. I'm allowed to go ahead and do this deal. That's fine. To make it all built in, it's sort of, you give me the zeta to go ahead and do it, and we do it, that's going to be motto. Now that's Shlomo Zalman, apida chavizdat, apida sma, apida shulchan aruch. So at the end of the day, we accomplished a regular halva beribit.
I gave him $90. He didn't have the $90 to give me in the first place. I said, I'll lend you the $90. I'll prepay on that stack. I'm giving him the $90 to give to you.
You're giving him 90, he's going to give it to me, he owes you 90, and then he's buying back the shtar of 90.
He's
going to
give it
a shtar. It very well could work. Let me just finish with all the shlavim. I'll try to, and we stop.
That's not so good, because then he's giving him a shtar worth $100.
No, it's only 90. The shtar is payable in a year's time. But what is the shtar payable in a year's time? But if the shtar payable in a year's time is only worth 90, you'll let it do 90. Now, Zogir Shlomo Zalman, another step. Okay, let's try to get the step right. Why do I have to swap equal amount shtaris? Right? What's the whole on the mechir shtaris? Because it's a chayfet. It's as if we created something real, right? So Zakir Shlom is like this. I go over to Chesky because he only lends money with for profit. Okay, no problem. Give me $100 shtar, and I'll give you $110 shtar. Now, Zakir Shlom Zalman, that's not ribbis, because as long as the dates, the payable dates, the maturity is the same, that's no problem. We both are allowing each other. Hey, it's chayvis. No money was exchanged. We both are mischayv to each other. Chayvis, payable in a year. It's payable at the exact same time. That's tonight. You have to get the exact same time payable. So there's never at 1 second anyone owes anyone else money without the other. There's never I'm talking to somebody at all. I owe you 100. I owe you actually 110, and he owes me 100. And then we do the same spiel. I take this star, I sell it to Yitzchak, and then if they both want a profit, because entitled, he could buy it back. But at the end of the day, Yitzchak doesn't give him a good deal, and Yitzchak wants to sell it to him for 100, so Yitzchak makes money, Chesky's still going to make money, because he has on me a star worth 110. So at the end of the day, Vaiti, he's going to make a profit on the money that was sort of advanced, and it looks and works just like Havah Beribis, but it's all through Mechir Shtaris, so it was never Havah even for 1 second, and that's perfectly all right. That's the next thing. Now let's go.
100, 100, 100.
I'm saying, once 100 going to me and 110 going to him, and then I sell the 100 to him, so it's perfectly all right. But tonight, that we're starting the dates equal, no money is exchanged, no Havah, it's payable at the same time, it's a regular swap.
You're selling 110?
You owe me 100. You mischive yourself to 100. Only if I'm mischive in return 110. So we did the mischive at the same time. We swapped stars. I sell your star to you, so I have 100, and it's perfectly... I have my... Well, let's say I only got 90. Yitzchak also has to make money. So he gave me 90. So I got 90. Yitzchak's going to collect 100 from you, and you're going to collect 110 from me, and it's perfectly okay. Again, this is a Shlomo Zalman. Okay, now let's take it to the next step.
$90.
How do you? What do you mean buy back? What's the case?
How you want it? Now you owe me 100.
And why don't you buy direct? Okay, that's the next slap. 1 second, you're copying me. Okay, here comes the next step. The next step comes along my Ram Shik and says, I'm going to get Chesky involved. Chesky has things to do. What do we need this for? Stam, let me go straight to Yitzchak. Yitzchak, I want to borrow money by Ribbis. I want to borrow money. He doesn't do it without ribbis. Yitzchak also has to make a banasa. So what do I do? Is I say, yes, you know what? Here's a shtar chayv for 100. You give me a shtar chayv for 100. So it's a perfect regular swap. And the next man, I say, Yitzchak, you know, I don't like owing you money. You know what? I'll give you 90. I swapped the shtar with Yitzchak. So I owe him 100. He owes me 100. And Yitzchak tells me he doesn't want to owe me money, so he'll give me $90 to buy back his shtar that he just gave me. So at the end of the day, a minute later, it doesn't take 2 minutes, 1 minute, we don't even need Chesky. What happened was that he gave me $90 and he has a chayv on me for $100. So Dr. Maram Sheik, that's the Eitzah. The next shlav, he also, that's also Mutzah. Ram Shik says maybe it should be Haromis Ribis. It looks bad, especially since I asked him L'chatchila, give me Halva, and there's such a concept of Haromis Ribis of Kuf Samakimah, which we skipped. No, get out of it. Maybe it's not doing me to that case. It's fine. That's Ram Shik. You have Askam and Ram Shik and other Achrenim that even this is fine. Comes from Shlomo Zalman and has a whole tshuva, beautiful tshuva, back and forth. You see the heck of his. His shlita on ribbis is awesome. You see how he's medama every case of a ramiz ribbis and chilukim, gorgeous tshuva. I don't think he even brings down the Ram Sheik. Suggests his eitz himself, goes through back and forth as a mutter. Finally, at the end of the day, he says, you know, if this would be mutter, why did the Chavis Das need Chesky? Why don't we just go straight? Why did the Chavis Das need this extra step, getting him involved, a yad, you know, Acha Be'emtza, Yad Shlishi Be'emtza, just do this trade. It saves a lot of headaches. Who said Chesky has good credit rating? Who says I have equal credit rating to Chesky? Who says he's going to be willing to swap the shtaris back? What do I need this for? Just go straight. This will be a parsha to Eitza. Look, Shlomo Zalman, can we see that Be'etzem, this is Haram Esrebis? To go straight and not have a third party Be'emtza, that's Haram Esrebis. That's already too much. And therefore, Shlomo Zalman Lamaisa is not willing to be megal on this. And the other Achrenim, I believe it's a Marshag, and others, the Haintego, the Bris Yehuda doesn't like it, even though Gedela Oilam, Maram Shik said it. But he says, Maram Shik had a Talmud, Marshag, Marshag didn't go as a Vite, didn't like it. It means he didn't like that part of that he quoted the other part of Maram Shik, but not this part, this extra step. You see that it wasn't Muskim and not Mokobel. But Mamshek wanted to go even as Zoyvayt. But no, we're not going to go as Zoyvayt. That's going to be Haromis Ribis. But mind you, it's not Ribis Ktutza. It's not Avak Ribis. It's only Haromis Ribis. It smells bad. Now, we skipped over really Haromis Ribis, but I'll give you the chilev between Haromis Ribis and Avak Ribis. Something with Avak Ribis is Ribis to Rabbanan. It's Otha. And you now go through with the deal. If you went through, you have a chiv latzid shemayim. You don't have a chiv yetz b'dayon. That's a difference between Avak Ribis and Ribis Ktutza. But you now let it go through with the deal. Haromis Ribis means that it smells bad. You shouldn't be doing this thing. But let's say we blew it. We got mixed up. We thought the Chavis Daz allows us to, and we went ahead, and we only saw the Maam Shik. We went through and we did this deal. We contractually went ahead and did this deal. And then you come to the Shia and you say, oi, I just did it yesterday. I'm out 90. I'm expecting to get 100. Can I collect the 100? The answer is yes. Haromis Ribis is not an Issa Derabbanan in carrying through with the deal that you created. It says you now let her do such a thing because it smells terrible. You shouldn't be doing these things. So you now let her do it. But if you blew it and you did it, it's only Haromis Ribis. You're allowed to carry through with the deal. It means if you already did the swapping of the shtaris and you extended the advance $90 to me, I will have to pay you $100 at the end of the year, and I have a right, halakhically it's permissible for me to pay you $100. It's like a chayti niska. I'm now let her go into the deal l'katchila, but if I did it already, it is binding and I have to go through with the deal. So that's why it's only Haromis Ribis. You shouldn't do this thing, but nevertheless, it's not Avak Ribis Afilo. It's only Haromis Ribis. Let's go to the next step. I don't know what step we're holding by seven already, whatever it is. The next step is, what do I even have to have two stars for? Let me have one star. Yitzchok, you know what? That's a good. Let me money. You don't want to lend me money? Okay, no problem. I'll write you a star chayv. I owe you $100, and I'll sell you this very star chayv that I owe you $100 for $90. I don't even need two stars for. Shut off the cipher. What I have to pay the cipher for? One shtar will do it all. I write you out a shtar chayv. I owe you $100, and I'll sell it to you directly for $90. This already is a no-no. This is already awesome midaraisa. The Chokmah's Onam says it's a regular havah beribis. I write you out a shtar chayv. I owe you $100. What is that? It's nothing. It wasn't chal yet. And what happens? You give me the $90, and that's when I'm giving you the thing. I'm not selling you a shtar chayv. I'm being mischayv myself at that point, $100. If you give me 90, that's like every halva of a ribbit.
Worth $90, as you say, could payable and so on.
But that's like every halva of a ribbit. You give me 90, and I give you a promissory note saying I owe you 100 in a year's time. No, the chayvit, normally you created a chayvit. It means I lent money, so a chayv was created, so we view that as a chayvit. But here, I didn't do anything yet. I wrote on a piece of paper, I owe you $100. Then it's a piece of paper right now, it's nothing. It wasn't chah, has no taker. So it's not a chayvit yet. And then I'm trying to sell you that, bevazacha, so to speak, to create a chayv and to sell it to you for $90. You can't do that. Basically, what you're doing is you mean chayv yourself $100 in a year's time if you get $90 now. That is Ribis Ktutza. As I talked to Chokhmah Zadim and Nachas David, others as well. This is, that's a no-no.
What?
But something less than that.
What if I start for $100 and I give you my ton of $10?
So I said, I pay you.
What do you mean? I'm giving you 90. No, but again.
I wrote you a shtar chayv. You give me $100. I give you $100. Give me $100.
Go on.
Turn around and give you $10.
No, again, but that was a halva, right?
Yeah,
that was a halva. That was a halva for 100. And then later on, the lev is giving a malva matana. So if it was understood to be like that, if it's implicit that that's what you're going to do, it might be a ribis ktutza. If not, it's chach avak ribis, because there's a halva outstanding, and you're paying your malva an extra $10 matana. But here we're talking about, I'm not giving him anything extra other than the swap. But that is Ribis Ktutza because nothing must call yet.
Swap actual stars, and I pay him $30 for doing the swap.
Phew, Chesky? What was the case?
The case is, I write a shtar to Chesky that he owes me, that I owe him $100. He writes a shtar he owes me. And I give him $30 for doing the swap. Now he goes ahead. I have his shtar, and I tell him, okay, now give me the
suggestion. So who are you going to meet? You're going to Yitzchak, back to Chesky?
Me and him.
Right.
We switched.
No, we said that between you and him, we already said it's no good.
No, we switched stars.
Right. But Mamshik said between only two people, Mamshik holds. Oh, Mamshik holds this mutter, but we hold this also. It's Ramis Ribbit.
I pay him for doing the swap.
So it could be even worse, not better.
Okay, is it also to pay him to do the swap?
You want to know if the Mamshik was matter, would he ask at that case?
If it was actual stars, it's 100 for 100.
Right, no, but you're buying more. All right, you have to know how it's structured. I would have to think about it, but Lamai says it's L'chadchil, you're not allowed to do the Maram Shik. Don't get carried away. We hold it to Ramis Ribbit. Even equal amounts. Even equal amounts. 100 for 100, and then you buy it back, and then you buy it.
One second. I'm paying him a service fee for bothering with this, for sitting here for an hour.
What do you mean? I gave you a shtar for 100 and you gave me a shtar for 100. Then what happened?
Now he's going to buy it for $100 and later I'm going to give him back for $100.
Okay, and so we have the $30.
I'm paying him $30 for doing this whole parasha.
What's up? When you're paying a seller a 30, it's a regular transaction. Why are you paying him more than he's paying you? You're both selling shtaris to each other. Why is he having more tircha than you both having the tircha?
Because I wanted to do it.
Oh, I know. So then it sounds like really there was not a regular mechira involved.
It's not the same mechira because the shtaris remained the same amount.
Well, yeah, I would have to think about it. I don't like it, but I got to think about it. But what you got to end up is that last step is taka also. But short of that last step is already muta midiraisa, and if you get a third party involved, it's going to be muta even the kachila. Anyone want to borrow cheski for the night? You can have it. Mamish muta kachila. We have this eta, no problem of avah beribit. Once I get a third party involved, I get out of the Ramas Ribbis. Rav Shlomo Zalman says we can't be boida our own Ramas Ribbis, more unless it's mamish doima to the case of Chazal, and he shows you why this is much better than all the case of Chazal. Even Rav Safra's case Kufa, which was a Ramas Ribbis, the Paiskim say that if you get a third party involved, the Knesset Gdola Beduli Juma says it's already not a Ramas Ribbis because you see money going different directions. It's fine. And Mamela Zakh to Shlomo Zalman, this is also going to be fine. So this will be a semi-simple to borrow money by Ribbis. But the catch is that it's a one-time balloon payment. For me to go ahead and do this, just hold up, there's a last step. So far, so good. The very last step is, if I'll go over to Chesky and say, no, Chesky, I'll be mischaving myself to you like this. $100 in 1 year, I'll pay you $100, $200 in 2 years, $300 in 3 years, whatever. I'll be mischaving myself more and more over time. Now, let's say Chesky isn't mischaving anything back to me. That itself, in and of itself, is mutter. That's not considered havar beribis. There's halacha that a father could be mischaiv and nadin to his child and say like this, I'll pay you $10,000 if you want it the day after the chasna. If you want it a year after chasna, it'll be $11,000, and every year it'll go up $1,000. That's fine. And the lomdik says, I'm giving, there's no chayv, I don't owe the son anything. I'm giving him a greater matana. If he's patient, I'll give him even a greater matana. That in and of itself is not a problem. So what I'll do is, then you should say, let me do the same thing. I'll go to Chesky and say, it's 1,000 in 1 year, 1,100, 2 years, 1,200, 3 years, and he'll give me the exact same type of shtar back. He owes me 1,000 in 1 year, 1,100, 2 years, 1,200, 3 years, and we'll swap, and then get a third party involved and do the same shtickle. That already, the price can say, that's already no good. That already is built in Havar B'Ribbis. You see the accumulation, that already is no good. But if you want a one-time Ribbis payment, you have this eta of getting Chesky involved, and that's going to be fine.
How about if it's $15,000 in 5 years, and you have the right to prepay, and it's prorated?
So the same idea. That's the same. Yeah, same thing. If it's not a step, it accumulates over time. That already the...
$15,000.
So then it's going to be $14,000, whatever it is. But you see that if I pay 3 years one price, 4 years another price, 5 years another price, you see it's going to accumulate over time.
Is that better than a
heter yisra? Is this eta better than a heter yisra? The Paiskim seem to like it better. They hold that this is muskum. Yeah, if it's Susan, my little concern. I'm not so sure, because here, if you blow it, you might really blow it big time. You might, I mean, not to ask, because you also, people blow it and they blow it big time. But either way, you should get a Rav involved to do it. Yesh v'yesh, had to do it. I mean, all right. Let me just cup around.
You can make a series of star players.
You can't make it stepping in over time. You can have a one-time.
One for each year.
I'm saying you can't do that. I can't say for 1 year it's 1,000, 2 years 2,000. I can't.
I can make 5 different star clubs for one for each year.
I owe you $1,000, and then another star club. I owe you $100 for the second year, And what am I selling to the third party? All 5 stars.
What?
Well, I got to think about that. I hear. Okay, let's try. I know it's a bit late, but let's try to chapter. We skipped over Ramah, and I don't want to go back because next week is a new Indian. Also, the Adam loim lechaveray in Siv Dalet. Also, the Adam loim lechaver holocha asar dinarin or patreni mimash ani chayv yud beis dinarin leploni. I owe Chesky $12, and I tell you, do me a favor, get here's $10. I owe Chesky in a year's time. Here's $10, and pay up my chayv to Chesky $12. That's Ribbis Daraisa. I'm giving you $10. I'm going to ask that you pay not me directly, pay someone who I would like you to pay $12. That's going to be Ribbis Daraisa. Avagad, even though it's possible, the efshe sheyifta atzmoi biyud dinarin. Even though it's possible that you might convince Chesky to sell his debt only for $10, and at the end of the day, Yitzchok, this middle guy, never paid anything extra. still, the etim right now, I owe Chesky 12, and I'm, so to speak, having a deal with you. If I pay you, give you 10, you're going to pay Chesky 12, that is Ribbis Daraisa. But Dr. Ramah, major het, Vedavka Shechayvid Bezanam, provided the Chayv is absolute. Right now, I actually owe Chesky 12. Avam Enu Chayv Elash HaMelech Yatel Olav Umnes, Em Sham B'mnei Menidos Abad Yud Bez Dinorin. It's only that the Melech is forcing everyone to work, and a day's work, and that's, we reckon a day's work is $12. If I tell you here's $10 and replace me and actually work for the Melech $12, that's taka also, because I'm giving you 10 that you're going to pay me back. How? By stepping in my place, $12, that's taka also. But here's the head, Avulim Oimer, Maltaini Mina Umnis, don't work. Just somehow pacify the king and get out of the job, however you can do it. And I'm giving you $10 to get me out of conscription, get me out of here, and here's $10. That's going to be mutter. Do me a faisei papachas. Maybe he'll pay the king $10 to let me off. Maybe he'll even pay the king $8 to let me off the hook. Maybe the king would rather have $8 and then have me work for him. Even though a regular day's work is $12, he might be satisfied to take $8 in the hand, take it right away, and get off. So since it's not an absolute choif, so you don't see 10 for 12, that is not a contractual upmark. And I'm not telling you to replace me to actually work in my on my behalf. So that is a service of $12. I'm not telling you that either. All I'm doing is use your connections, your political connections, convince the king to get me out of here. That's going to be fine. Okay, we're going to stop here.
For other tapes by Rabbi Kahan or for additional information, please contact Beis Din Meisharim at 732-905-3388. Thank you.